live from his kitchen in his two-bedroom apartment. This is Head in the Sand with Jonathan Bautista.
And welcome to the 16th edition of Head in the Sand, the Sweet 16 episode. It is just myself and Aaron this week. We're going to go over a couple of things. It's going to be a little bit, not, I would say serious, but toned down edition of Head in the Sand. So how are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing well.
Anything on the job front yet?
Not yet. It's been so frustrating. I think I said it last week. I applied for this place. It's called Desert Arc. It's basically a program like I was doing up in Salinas with disabled adults. And they focus more on helping them work in the community, and they have jobs on site and things like that, so they can kind of live on their own. And I applied for that like a week and a half ago. I went over there and I filled out an application, gave them my resume, my reference list, and they said they'd call. I didn't hear anything back from them until like a few days later. I called them again because I hadn't heard anything on Tuesday after the holiday. And they said, we'll be calling by the end of this week to set up interviews. And I didn't get a call. So Monday, I'm going to be calling them and seeing if I can set up an interview since they didn't call me.
Yeah, we'll call this week two of the job hunt with Aaron. If anybody out there has any job openings available in the Southern California area, if you're out of country and it's for services, she will not accept your applications, nor do not send her any applications.
Did I tell you once that I was propositioned to marry somebody's family member for $10,000?
That's it?
Yeah, they wanted their green card and I was like 20 years old, 19 or something like that. And they offered me 10 grand.
Wow.
Yeah. Thinking back, I kind of should have done it.
And the divorce like 2 years later?
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
And then he would have got a good paying job and then you'd just take half.
Yeah. Basically, say he cheated and take everything.
Well, no fault divorce, so you can just claim that. Yeah. Wow, we've gone into
a dark place already.
We've gone into mail order brides. Well, I don't know if you were mail order.
No. I'm high class. I don't know.
$20,000 would have sparked your interest.
I'd say at least 50 grand. Get me a new car.
minus the taxes and everything. You got to explain that to the government. But
the car that I want right now is going to be less than 40 grand with taxes and everything.
What kind of car do you want?
I want a GMC Terrain.
I'm sorry.
I always get it mixed up between a Terrain and Traverse. Why are you sorry?
Because you're getting a GMC. You want a GMC.
I like the look of it. And they have not gone under like Saturn has. So, you know, I think I'm pretty good.
But it's the same company. You know that, right?
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but it's the bigger name in the company, so, you know.
I guess.
It won't go away, and I don't know.
my dream car, just because of the body style design and everything, is a 98 Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Dude, the Spiders. Yes.
Yeah, the Spiders, yes. Not after they came out with the newer body style, I wasn't too happy with it.
I hated those with the lines down the side.
Yeah.
It looked horrible.
But yeah, 98 Eclipse is my dream car. Don't ask me what the specs or anything are. I just know that the look of that car, I remember. Well, there's people that still want, my friend Chris had a 94 Honda Civic, which those cars are in high demand.
Why?
Because you can mod them out and they're racing. They're good drifting cars and all that fun stuff. So I don't know. Yes. I wish I could just have a sound clip for that, but I don't. Yeah. I'm actually going to bring that up later.
What?
Yes, the look on your face. No, it's funny. It'll come up later.
Everybody is so confused right now.
Yes. Yes.
That could have been so many different things.
Well, that's how I keep them listening. They're going to have to find out what I'm exactly talking about. So the 49ers won today.
Yes.
Kaepernick with over 400 yards passing today. Very good. What was that?
I saw a thing today on the NFL Facebook thing. It said Anquan Boldin. I can't see it. Anquan Boldin?
Oh, I don't know. I can't pronounce
it. His name is Boldin. Whatever. I'm a horrible 49ers fan. So he had like 280 something yards today,
right,
and two touchdowns, or right, I think it was two touchdowns and whatever, and I think an interception or something like that. And then it said the Jacksonville Jaguars 197 yards total between all of them, and Anquan Boldin had over 200 by himself.
Really? That's why all the memes for the Panthers today, huh?
Huh?
The Panthers suck, don't they? Is that?
The Panthers.
Well, we can get into the fact that I told Jess first 5 minutes of this show was going to be about football. So, it was very. They were very impressive in their first outing with the Green Bay Packers. I think that there's still a lot. Their offensive line still has a lot of work they need to do, and they need to. I guess Kaepernick needs to know how to count. Because obviously he gets really close to the play clock.
Yeah, he always, even last season, he used to stress me out. I'd be watching at home and I'd be yelling at the TV, watch the clock, Cap. And he gets it right at the last second.
Yeah, although, I don't know why he does that.
Alex Smith used to do the same thing until this last year, the first half of the season last year. He didn't do it as much as I remembered, but for a long time he used to just run the time clock late as good.
Hey, what'd you think about that penalty with that one fucking idiot? What's his name?
Matthews?
Yeah, with Matthews.
Sorry, Kelly. I hate that guy so bad.
What is that? I mean, he launched himself towards Kaepernick. And then he decided just to run, clothesline basically on the sidelines. Yeah. But did you hear the controversy about that? About how they should have, it should have been fourth down instead of,
And that's fine. You know what? Let them replay the third and they got their touchdown. I don't care. If they would have gone to 4-2, they probably would have tried for a field goal instead of a touchdown, and they got the touchdown instead. So I'm glad that they missed and forced it.
Yeah. No. Well. I mean, it was to our favor, but I mean, yeah. There's nothing they can do about it now. I mean, the game's over. We won.
Once the next play starts, there's nothing they can do to change it.
Did you hear about that guy that died at the game?
No.
Some fan fell over a railing.
No.
Yeah, he was drunk and he broke his neck and yeah.
Holy shit!
It was during
Don't get drunk.
Yeah. Well, it's not a Raiders game, so.
Well, at least nobody was shot.
Yes.
I remember when that had the last Niners Raiders issue game, the one where they decided no more games between the two teams. I remember seeing that somebody had been shot in the bathroom or something, and that was a Niners fan. I was really disappointed. I honestly thought that most of the fights and problems were started by Raiders fans, and then you come to find out that the person who shot somebody was a Niners fan.
Well, here's the culprit to all that. It's not the Niners. It's not the Raiders. It's Miller Lite.
That's awesome.
Miller Lite causes all fights. Alcohol just causes all fights in general.
Yes.
So alcohol makes people make bad decisions. I guess it goes with football games. It's not you that's drunk, it's your jersey that's drunk.
Just like it's the shoes.
It's never, and it's true, it can be the same for jerseys, because you can wear a certain jersey and all of a sudden you feel like you fucking play for the team. I'm Frank Gore.
Oh, I love Frank Gore.
Look at your smile.
I love him. He's been great for the team in the last few years.
But his rushing today wasn't that great. I mean, they had a hard time getting a run.
He wasn't necessarily going to him as much as Alex Smith used to. Alex Smith said, because he's a horrible passer, he would just pass it off to Gore every play.
Well,
and Cap is just so much better at so many different things instead of just sticking to one thing, that he's not being played as much as the tight ends or the wide receivers, because they're able to he's able to pass. Alex Smith wasn't.
Well, I think you look at it, if you look at the offensive line today, I mean, it was hard for them to create opportunities or holes, holes,
yeah.
or create gaps for porn, creates yeah. gaps for Frank Gore to hit. I mean, I think the fourth quarter, there was a spot where, you know, that awkward handoff to Frank Gore.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
the way they did on it.
But I mean, Gore did a great job of kind of waiting for it, letting opportunity open up. So that was amazing on that part.
Well, if you look at the little playback that they did, he was about to go to Cap's right, but Kaepernick decided to go to the left instead, and he had to, like, stop and change his plan at the very last second. And I think it was Matthews who was right there ready to take him out, and he somehow pulled through and got a game.
So, yeah, that all ends portion of What's in Sports with Aaron and John. Half of you are like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And Jessica's like, I don't know what. I'm just going to tune it out right now.
Yeah.
She does listen. She hasn't even gone through the last episode. That episode was 79 minutes long.
Oh, shut up, really?
I couldn't cut anything out. It was that good. So, yeah, today. Yeah, both you and Callie just, oh, geez. I think we'll give people a break from the tandem that we were for the last 2 weeks. Just kind of have one-on-one discussion. I was supposed to have a friend of mine on this week, but he had a rescheduling conflict. So we're going to have him on the next one. But just kind of want to go into, actually, it's interesting because Jess and I went to, just kind of what we did today, went to go see the world at the World's End with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, which was a really good movie. They do Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You have not seen Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz?
Well, no, I haven't seen those, but I also haven't. I think I've seen ads for this new one, but I haven't seen either of those two movies.
Oh.
They're the guys who did Paul, right?
Which one?
They're the ones who did Paul.
Paul.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw Paul.
Did you like Paul?
I don't remember. I want to say I thought it was funny, but it obviously didn't affect me that much if I can't even remember.
Oh, I have it on Blu-ray, so I like their whole series. But no, I was telling Jess, I don't know how this came up. We were in the car going to McDonald's getting McFlurries, which she craved McFlurries. Yeah, she's going to love me saying that. Because, you know, I have to get one, too, if she gets one.
Well, yeah. She can't eat by herself, John. Don't be rude.
But I was telling her, there's this lady that wrote this book, and she wants to go into voiceover acting. This is a little small tidbit. I wanted to talk about her, and we actually just saw a video. And it goes into What's on YouTube. So search for this on YouTube.
Oh, hang on. I was checking my fantasy football. Hang on. Let me get into YouTube.
Well, I don't know the exact, but it's Internet Voiceover Guy. And he follows people around. We just watched this. It's on Failblog. But he walks behind people. It's the guy that goes, in a world. You know, that guy. But this lady wants to write this book. It's called In a World, .. And he follows these people around. And I forgot who it's done by. I'll put the link up. I'll send you the link of it. But it's just this guy that follows people around going. And there's these three guys that are dressed up in. They look like they're Abercrombie and Fitch models. Oh. And he says, from the same guys that are dressed in Abercrombie and Fitch commercials. And it's so stupid. And these people are laughing because he's doing movie trailers about them as they're walking.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I really need to do
that. There's one where he's like, the guy in the black shirt is on his cell phone. Guy in the blue shirt is on his cell phone. They have now just lost signal and have no way to communicate with each other. Two guys, one phone.
Ew. That sounds like it could be a bad spin-off.
Yeah, but I don't know how that's going to sound coming out. People are like, why are you trying that? But the Pablo Francisco does a great, great impression of the movie guy.
Chris used to do the movie phone guy.
Right.
His voice.
Oh, press one for Titanic. Press two for Love Actually.
Yeah, he did. He made me a ringtone doing that. Said, this this is Aaron's phone, and like something like that, and it would ring every time he called. He hasn't. I should make me a new one.
Yeah, you should. I'm sure it'll say, "If this is a guy calling, please hang up."
It said something about smacking my ass, and so every time he called, I needed to make sure I answered it before my parents heard that. Or,
oh my god! Sorry.
I always made sure to like turn the volume off if I couldn't answer it right away, just to make sure that my dad didn't hear him talking about smacking my ass.
Jeez. Yeah, so that's what's on YouTube. Look that up. That guy, I forgot the company. The guy, this, but it's on Failblog.
I've got homeless man's voice.
Hold on, there's I'll have to find it right now, and I'll tell everybody what it is. Okay, it's called. It's actually on Break.com. It's called Epic Movie Trailer Voice Prank. And it's, okay. It's pretty fucking hilarious. These two girls are walking. He's like, Mila Kunis and blah, whoever, are walking down the street. And they're like, they know it's them that he's talking about. In a world. God, that guy, you just to do that, I would love to do like voiceover movies. And you know, here's my rant about this. And I wanted to talk about this. Because we were going to talk about serious stuff. And we still are going to get into that. But every movie trailer I see, it always starts off with, it always has to start off in a world, you know? And then they do the whole, and it's, you know, there's a guy that comes on and goes, I love you. And the girl goes, I don't know if I love you too. And then they go into this whole, you know, dad is talking to the guy going, you know, she really loved you, son. I don't know, dad, what should I do? And the girl goes, I'm so in love with him, but he's such a jerk. And it's, they follow, I think all the movie trailers follow the same type of format, especially with the dramedies. Because then you get the ones that's the wacky, you know, friend with his girlfriend who likes some guy. And the guy's like this douchey guy, but he turns out to be a cool guy. Not douchey anymore because she straightens him out. And then the girl gets the guy. And it's, but those trailers, what did I see that was like that? All of them are like that. I'm just going to say all of them are like that. But it's just, I'm mumbling now, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah. They all do, basically.
I can't love you right now. I love him. No, I don't want to let you go. Please don't die, Jack. Speaking of Titanic, I did like when Leonardo DiCaprio died at the end, just to let everybody know that. I think I've said that before, and I'll say it again.
It's funny, because the way you're talking about these, have you ever seen the movie The Holiday with Cameron Diaz and... what's her last name?
Winslet?
Yeah. And Jack Black, right. And Jude Law or something like that. Have you ever seen that?
No, I've never seen that. No.
In that movie, Cameron Diaz plays a movie trailer editor, and she's a workaholic, and she has these dreams in the movie of trailers is being made about her life, and they all start off just like that. In a world where this, and it's like really super over the top dramatic.
Yes, hilarious. It's those that, you know, she's a hard working actress, and he's just a lonely farm boy looking for love. Two star crossed paths will come together. Yeah, and there's always a girl crying in one of them. In those drama comedies, the girl has to be crying. And the guy has to, you know, again, you know, be some douchey guy that like knows the error of his ways. I don't know. It's just it's interesting. And I watch him like, God, this is bad. I think Not Another Teen Movie did a spoof of that also in one of their movies.
I have not seen that movie.
Really? Not another. Really?
I don't watch a lot of movies. I really don't. I watch Grey's Anatomy, but for me, stay straight.
Speaking of Grey's Anatomy, we're gonna get into. Too. That's a good segue. I like that one. Of TV shows that make you cry.
Oh, my God.
Now,
I think usually does that show make you cry, but that show makes you think you have every medical issue wrong with you possible. Because I have had this horrible headache. I woke up with it. I can't get rid of it. And it makes me think I have a brain tumor because I've been watching that show for 3 days.
Oh, jeez. It's like watching ER or Scrubs, which I was... More partial Scrubs. But yeah. I've been watching lately Wonder Years.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the last two seasons. Actually, what's funny is there's an episode with Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Really?
Yeah, he's in it. He's in the first season. Dustin Diamond's in it. Yeah, that was from our last episode. And then Danny McKellar's sister is on it, too.
Wait, who's this?
Danica McKellar, Winnie Cooper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she plays this crazy best friend of hers or something. I forgot. But, you know, it kind of made me think about, you know, with how things, I guess, were then watching it. Because it's set in the 60s or late 60s. And, you know, Kevin Arnold at the time, first season, he's like 12 years old. And you look at that show and you look at how people dealt with things. Even thinking back to when I was 12. I mean, 12-year-old kids now are way different than 12-year-old kids when you were 12 and when I was 12. I don't know, what year were you 12 years old?
1996?
Six. Because I was 12 in 92.
Yeah, so 96.
So, I mean, again, you know, and the kids that are 12 years old now, I don't know how Reyna is going to be in 12 years old. I don't even know what they're going to go through then, but I think a lot of the stuff that's going on now, especially with society, is that you hear about these kids that are getting bullied and they're killing themselves. It's getting so bad. I remember when I was 12, I got picked on all the time. I mean, I was bullied to no end. And I don't know if it made me a stronger person. I don't know if it, but I think everybody at that age especially wants to be accepted. I think it's more prevalent in those years than in any, when you're adult, you don't give a fuck anymore, pretty much. I hope not.
Well, for the most part, yeah.
But you just, you really just don't give a shit what people think. You enjoy the friends that you have. You, I guess, are more mature, but at that age, you know, you look at a lot of, you know, even watching this show, even thinking back for myself, you know, we talked about before the show, you know, there's, if you like somebody and they're not part of the cool kids, you can't really show that you like them because you'll get teased.
Well, yeah. I was never part of the cool crowd anyway. I hung out with the crazy dorky goths.
What?
None of which are talking to me anymore. Yeah, I used to hang out with the goth kids. The thing is, in middle school, I was hanging out with not the cool, like the cheerleader cool kids. Yeah, I know, weird, right? But I was hanging out with, like, I guess the little rebel cool kids. Does that make sense?
Did you have a trench coat?
No, I never did. My friends did in high school.
Did you have black hair?
In junior high, yeah, crazy. Like, there was one girl who shaved her head a lot. There was another girl who just used to do all sorts of crazy stuff. And we had the artist, you know, the fucking goth kids sitting there with their beanies and their long blonde hair with their headphones on just doing this at lunch kind of thing. Yeah, those were my friends. But but it's weird because in middle school, I was hanging out with the bad cool kids, that like the little bit of the rebels that are kind of bad kids, but not like really, really bad. But they were considered kind of cooler.
Are you talking about again, back to movies, are you talking about like the Heath Ledger character in 10 Things I Hate About You?
Not so much.
I've never seen that movie, by the way. I just want to point that out there.
Yeah, sure. But I guess in a way, kind of. But we were kind of seen as somewhat popular. We weren't the jocks or the cheerleaders, but we were somewhat popular. Everybody knew who we were. I don't know. We had friends, whatever. But we weren't like I said, the cheerleaders or the jocks. But in our freshman year, I went to school the first week or so. I just felt so uncomfortable in that group because I was the fat kid and all my girlfriends were prettier. And I felt so insecure and so like ignored. I really felt like I was ignored and kind of pushed to the side for the first week straight. And I finally, there was one day I was walking by and I saw my friend that I kind of knew from middle school. And she said, come have lunch with us. And I never left. They were my friends from then on. And unfortunately, it sucks, but none of them are talking to me anymore.
So what is it? I mean, what helped you? I mean, like I said, kids now, they're getting bullied online or they're getting what have you, and they're killing themselves. When I was 12, or even going through high school, I guess that point in your life from 13 to, you know, whenever you're still trying to find yourself, you're still trying to find where you fit in this world. But when I was a kid, I never heard about, I mean, I guess maybe if I was sheltered, about kids getting bullied to the point where they're hanging themselves in their bedrooms. What's changed? What do you, how does somebody that age, how did you cope with just, I guess, transitioning, in society?
I hung out with the goth kids, the unpopular ones that used to get teased a lot, but I was never personally teased. I think that group saw me as like a fragile little child, and they really protected me a lot. But nobody ever tried to bully me or bother me because I wasn't a mean, I didn't have an attitude. I wasn't mean to other people for no reason. I wasn't awkward and really super weird. I was just existing. And so nobody really bothered me. I remember my senior year, when we were signing the yearbooks at the end of the year, there was this girl who was a cheerleader who I sat next to in my senior government class or something. And in my yearbook, she wrote, she said something like, "I thought you were going to be the biggest bitch I've ever met, but you turned out to be one of the sweetest people ever." And I was like, "It's yeah, I'm shy, but that doesn't mean I'm a bitch. I'm just shy." Like, right. I mean,
what do you think? I mean, because you said it, you transitioned. And I guess, you know, junior high to high school, and you said that first week, it was hard for you to adjust, being a young girl or lady or woman or whatever you want to call it. what can somebody to do? I mean, cause it just, whether you're a guy or a girl, it doesn't matter. You're still trying to find yourself. But what can you do? How did you handle, going through that transition? What helped you, I guess, mentally survive the stupidity of high school and junior high and just all the social stuff? Because I think now, because I'm just now adding to the question, I think now there's so much more societal factors that go into how you look, what you wear, what your makeup is, you know, what clothes do you wear. I think when I was 13 or 14, I wanted my parents to buy me Stussy jeans. Or Janko. There was Janko at the time. You don't know any of this. This is like 95.
My parents were never really well off. I was lucky to get the LA Gear light up shoes like once or twice growing up. But other than that, we went to Payless.
That's where my parents went. Yeah, I wanted those pants, and they were like 30, 40 bucks a pair, and they wouldn't buy it for me. But I'm, even though I complained and bitched and complained about it.
Well, we never got brand names. My parents stuck by Levi's, even though they are a brand name, only because they trusted the brand. But other than that, I mean, we went to Target for school shopping. We had a budget every year for each of us. We would go and get clothes wherever we could. We didn't. And I was kind of brought up to not care about brand names. Like, I really, even to this day, there are very, very few brands in particular that I will say, "Oh my God, I love that brand." And it's never because it's a popular brand. I actually kind of boycott the popular brands like Coach and Louis Vuitton. There's no point in buying an expensive bag. Sorry, Jen. but I mean, to me, there's no point. I mean, I can get a bag from the store called Charming Charlie, which I took Justin, and I can get a bag for 40 bucks, and it lasts for a while until I can buy a new one that goes with a better style. I don't have to buy $400, $500, $600 bags every few months.
So why do you think it's so harder, so much harder for teenagers, especially females, because my daughter's going to listen to it. Why is it so much harder now than it was for you at 12, or even for I guess me at 12, not that I was a young girl at 12 years old.
Well, I don't know if it's any harder. I think
it seems like it
is. I don't know. This is coming from the conservative side of me. I don't know if it's really any harder. I think people are just kind of babying their kids a little too much. Strengthen them up a little bit. I mean, like I said, I was never really picked on, but my sister was. My older sister was picked on pretty badly to the point where my parents had to go to the school principal and say, "What the hell is going on? Why is my daughter being beat? Why is she having so many issues? What is the problem?" And a lot of the problems were the teachers didn't care in that school. The teachers weren't regulating like they should have been. And the parent, and my parents, thankfully, taught us to not care what other people thought. They taught us to stick up for ourselves and really not give in to bullies. So, like I said, my older sister had it way worse than I did. I never got pushed around like she did. She did when she was in middle school. But at the same time, the teachers of that school were horrible. I lived in that middle school zone. Like, I should have gone to that middle school. My parents refused to let me go to that school because of the way the teachers didn't care about the students. We went to school all the way across town because the teachers there cared more. And, I mean, the teachers in my sister's school would see things going on in class and not do anything. My parents had heard from other parents that those things were going on a regular basis, and nobody ever did anything about it.
It, looking back at that and looking at now, I think it's an aspect that's gotten worse because nobody wants to get sued. Nobody wants to get, you know, the teacher's almost handcuffed in a sense. They're, you know, if they tell a parent, you know, hey, your child's acting up. And I've heard of this happening where a teacher will bring up, hey, your child is acting up, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, the parents would tell them, well, you're watching my kid. No, it's not the teacher's job to parent your child. Yeah.
Oh my God, that drives me nuts. No, you should be parenting your kids so that they don't do that. I never picked on anybody. I never bullied anybody because I was taught from a very young age the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have do unto you.
And that helps you out when you get older. Sorry, I had to throw that.
It really, really does. But, I mean, I've always lived by that rule. I heard it probably daily when I was younger. And that's what I've always lived off of. I purposely find myself acting in certain ways. I find myself acting in certain ways, and I purposely try to adjust myself to not act like that. Like, my dad can be very, my dad is very hypocritical, and there are times where I find myself doing that because that's kind of what I was taught, but then I catch it, and I consciously change it.
Do you think with more information,
make,
I guess,
the effort to not be here.
Right. Do you think that in our society now, it seems like we become more conservative? And I'm not trying to bring politics in this, but I think more people are, I guess, like you said, coddling towards their children.
Yeah.
You know, don't want them, you know, if they get, you know, if your kid's in a soccer game or in a football game and they get hit a little too hard, you're fucking freaking out. It's the end of the world. Somebody needs to sue somebody. You know, I was playing, you know, flag, you know, I wasn't playing flag football. I was playing like tackle football in the street.
Yeah, I used to play hockey, street hockey in my street all the time. We used to play baseball, and I lived in at the end of a cul-de-sac. Right. So we would go into the big round part of the cul-de-sac and just play baseball or softball or whatever, and like street hockey with our rollerblades, and we did all this stuff in the middle of the street. Like, that's you learn to move out of the way for cars so you don't get hit.
Except for that guy on YouTube that's dancing and he gets hit by the ice cream truck.
He's just an idiot and wasn't paying attention. He deserved that. If he's not going to pay attention, he deserves to be hit by a car. As a grown-ass man, if you're not going to watch your car and dance in the middle of the street, you get what you deserve. I'm sorry.
With all this swag. But, you know, it's sad that it happens. Like I said, I was bullied in elementary school. I was picked on. I remember liking a girl in elementary school, and she had a boyfriend.
Elementary school?
Jesus. Yes. She had a boy. Yeah. I remember very vaguely about people having mock weddings on the during recess.
Okay, that I can kind of remember a little bit.
But I remember liking this girl, and her boyfriend didn't like it, and so I like got jumped by like three of his friends.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, then I remember, we fought in some dude's garage. It was very weird. Yeah.
Like, how old were you?
I was maybe sixth grade. I was maybe 11 or 12.
Oh my gosh.
And then I remember, so I was horribly picked. I remember Jarek, my brother, won't remember this. I don't know if he does or not. He's going to listen to this and probably remember this. But I remember fighting this kid who was a friend of mine. I must have been, 13 or 14 at the time. And we boxed. I mean, he I remember I went to turn away or something, and he sucker punched me.
Oh, that's the worst. That's horrible. So
we just started going. I mean, we just started going at it. And the way it stopped, and I don't know if Jarek remembers. Jarek must have been, he must have been 8 or 9. No, again, with my ages, I'm horrible. He was a small kid at the time.
Small kid.
And you're I think, drink your water, because this part is interesting.
Okay.
So my brother proceeds to come out. Jarek, when he was little, came out with a butcher knife.
Oh, my God.
That's why I wanted you to finish drinking your water.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I would have choked.
That's what stopped the fight. Yeah, that shit was came out with a butcher knife.
That's so funny. It's funny because my mom is the oldest of 4 birth children to her mother, and then they adopted somebody later on who was older, that ended up being older than my mom. Long story. So there were basically 5, but for the first, 10, 15 years or so, there were only the 4. And it was my mom, then her brother, then her sister, then her other brother. So the 2 boys, being the 2 boys that they were, used to fight all the time. And I'm always reminded of a family story of the day that my youngest uncle chased my older uncle around the house with a pickaxe. And my older uncle ran into the bathroom to hide, and the younger uncle started chipping away at the door with the axe until his dad.
Here's
got
Johnny.
Yeah. Basically, I don't know how old they were at the time. I'm pretty sure they were pretty young, but I think they're a good 4 to 6 years apart. I'm not sure exactly how young age myself, but it was a pretty good age gap, and they chased each other around the house. Okay, so
that's, yeah, so, but I mean, for me, I think even at that time, I don't think I ever thought about like hurting myself or bullied to the point where it was I guess that bad. Yeah, there wasn't no Facebook, there was nothing like that at the time. I was telling Jess when I was watching Wonder Years, Kevin was sending a note to Winnie Cooper. And I go, oh, look, he's texting to her. But it was like, they write on the paper and they hand the notes over to everyone, to the original texting. I never felt in a sense that life was, that bad for me to no matter what was going on at the time, family-wise for me, I never thought that. That it would come to that where I was bullied so much that it would come to that point. I just get up and just kind of move on and survive from that way. But I mean, I'm sure when Raina grows up, hopefully she'll be a kung fu master. She'll be a Jedi master. But that's what I'm afraid of. I think my cousin Jeff's daughter she started kindergarten last week or this week. I think I want to say it's the week before last.
That's not great.
He's terrified of and I'm terrified too of what it's gonna be like for what. But she's gonna be strong. We think she's gonna be a little dictator and just have minions around her, or hopefully not be one of those mean girls.
No, you know what the fuck is it? I like to think that the parents teach a lot of that stuff from a young age. And I mean, I've said before, my parents, I mean, not to sound cocky in myself or anything, but I think my parents did a damn good job of teaching us right from wrong. Don't be mean to other people, be nice and friendly no matter what, kind of thing. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And I really take that to heart. I think my parents did a great job by us just for that reason alone. We might not have had all the fancy things that all my friends had. I didn't have a cell phone when I was in high school like some of my friends did. I had to buy my own, and I couldn't get one until I turned 18. Wasn't allowed.
There was no such thing as cell phones yet in my high school, just to let you know. We had pagers.
I had a pager in middle school. But but I didn't get that until I was 13. I was a birthday gift. I didn't get my ears pierced until I was 13 either. It wasn't allowed in my house. I had rules, and my parents stuck by them. They didn't give in to us because we asked for things. If they didn't want us to do something like pierce our ears or dye our hair or whatever it was, they didn't let us do it. A lot of kids nowadays just seem very spoiled, and their parents just give in to them to not, because they don't want to hear them. They don't want a parent. They just want, they want to be the cool friend, but they don't realize that I thank my parents all the time for being parents and not friends.
So did that help you? Did that help you make the decisions that you made when you were younger and not cave in to the what's the word, peer pressure?
Yeah, 100%.
Because I mean, it's got to be. It's especially now. I guess, you know, every generation. I mean, it's really different. Like, I'm gonna bring up a. Raina's going to hear this and wonder why I'm talking about this, but parenting, I think, has changed so much, I think, and I'm going to preface this with this. Parenting has changed so much that I think a lot of parents trust the schools into parenting for them, I think. But before, I think parents were so involved, like with the Wonder Years, you know, Kevin's mom stayed at home and she was a housewife, not saying, you know, good or bad, but there was a video that's on BuzzFeed, and you have to look this up. It's on YouTube. It's about a PSA on catching your kids masturbating.
What?
Yes.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you said catching your tit. I was really confused.
No, kids. You know, and then the mom walks in, and she, you know, the 12-year-old boy is doing whatever, fapping.
Fap.
And so, you know, she's like, you know, Johnny, that's okay that you do that and blah blah blah, and you know, I'm glad you're doing it in the privacy of your bedroom, and you know, once you get older we'll talk about these feelings and blah, and then she just leaves the room. I'm like, that is an awkward, I don't know what I would, yeah, I honestly I don't even know, I mean, I don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't know where you were going either.
But I think parents were more open then, I think it's, than now. I don't know. Because the kind of parent, I want to be involved in my child's life as much as possible. Not that involved. but. It's funny.
I don't remember ever getting like a sex talk from my parents. Ever. That aspect, they let the schools do. They figured we were going to learn it. They knew that in the, in the sixth grade, my class was a big class. It was like fourth, fifth, and sixth graders all in one class of like 60 students, two teachers. And what they did is one teacher took all the sixth grade girls, got us all together, and taught us that. And then they took all the boys separately and did their thing.
That's what they did for us, too.
And, yeah, and it was a lot easier. My parents didn't have to do that for us, you know, but they did. But at the same time, they never trusted the school to parent us.
Yeah, it's like that's a hands-off approach. If the school wants to, there's an episode of Wonder Years where they talk about, and then all the little boys think it's going to be this fun, exciting class, and it's really not.
No, awkward and uncomfortable and embarrassing.
And then both, you know, the guys and girls walk out of, because you guys don't have them at the same time. You know, it'd be like in the morning, and of course the girls will get the big cafeteria, the nice air conditioner. We just get like this little room. And you know, the teacher that's teaching is feeling pretty uncomfortable about it too. Yeah. So then after you walk out of the class, you get, and it was recess, I remember this. Like nobody said anything to anybody.
That's funny.
No, nobody said it. And I think that's, I don't know what with how sexual information is out there now. That's the way I would make sure my computer is in my living room or in my kitchen with Raina on the computer. Raina, if you're listening to this, I always search your computer. There's every freaking filter. I don't care if you're 18 years old right now. Nothing. I see everything. I want you to know that.
Yep.
As much as I love you, no, there's certain things that you've probably heard in this podcast, the last 16 podcasts. I think we're growing up now. I think we're maturing.
Maybe she is, but we're not.
We're not, no. No, and I'm going to, you know, 50-year-old me is going to be like, what the hell was I talking about? But I think with information that's out there, because, I mean, there was no, sex and the information wasn't so prevalent or wasn't so, I guess it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, a lot of those questions, you know, I think parents have a tougher time explaining to their kids what things are now. Because you watch, you'll see commercials for like the Jersey Shore or, you know, you'll see, you know, Smush Mush. Well, Mom, what does Smush Mush mean? Don't worry about it, honey. What's a Snooki? Well, oh, God.
I know. Well, just sex, because it, sex and violence, as much as I hate to blame things on TV and movies and things, they're everywhere. And I'm not saying that violence in TVs or movies is the reason that kids go on killing sprees, but those kinds of things are everywhere. And you can't really, I mean, I don't remember that stuff being so prevalent when I was younger.
Neither do I.
I don't remember being everywhere and in every show and every commercial on TV. I don't remember things like that at all. And that could be me being the goldfish that I am, but it could be also that it wasn't around so much. I really don't remember that stuff being around that much.
And I don't remember. I mean, for myself, I don't know if it was just, you know, I wasn't looking for it. You know, the days of, you know, hiding porn underneath your mattress, Raina, please, I got, okay, your dad was a very young kid.
That's funny, though. I think, I mean, I could be wrong, granted, but I think guys, I don't know how to word this right. I don't think girls do it as much as guys. Like I said, I could be totally wrong, but as teenagers, I think guys hide porn way more than girls. But like I said, I could be wrong.
That,
I don't know.
that, and that's all in your interpretation of that. I think both, you know, the male and female are trying to just find a place, you know, you know, the and what's funny is there's an episode of again, back to Wonder Years where, you know, I think this is true also where, you know, they're picking on Kevin because he likes this girl. He doesn't like her. This girl likes him. And she's kind of like this ugly duckling. You know, everybody makes fun of him because, you know, he has to do this line dancing thing class with her for PE. It was really weird. But you kind of think about that and the people, and I've seen this, you know, kids that were not very attractive growing up, mm-hmm. but when they got older, shit was on. And I'm sure you've seen it too. You see, you know, you look at Jerry O'Connell, who is a short little fat kid really? In okay. Stand By Me.
Was he in that movie?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
No.
He was in Stand By Me, yes.
What?
Yes.
It's like an amazement for me. I've never realized. Yes. I haven't watched Stand By Me in so long, though, either. That's a movie I have seen.
You're looking it up now. Yeah, he was in Stand By Me. If you search for him on Google Images, he's... He was a fat, chubby kid.
Shut up!
Yeah.
No, that's not it. Oh, my God, it is.
Yeah, I'll send you. Everybody search for it on Google if you don't believe me. I'm sending you a link right now over Skype to take a look at. There's a face-to-face type thing. I don't know if you see the link in the little chat box.
Sorry, I thought I turned it on silent.
It wasn't that special ringtone that Chris left, right?
No. It was Chris texting me, but it's a Dr. Dre song.
Yes, next episode, right?
I'm so random. I was taking a bath earlier, because I have a big bathtub, I can do that. So I was taking a bath, listening to country, singing to Lady Antebellum, while my ringtone for my text messages is Dr. Dre, and I'm like counting the minute until Eminem's CD comes out. Like, it's ridiculous.
Oh my God.
And I can go to Ozfest at any time and be totally happy and ecstatic. Weird.
Yeah, that's pretty freaking random. But back to how do you rant? But I mean, if you look at that, you know, Jerry O'Connell, obviously you see him now. He's not the fat little kid anymore.
Yeah. No, I don't think personally Jerry O'Connell is really my type of guy. He's not Mexican. But even
did you just say he's not Mexican?
He's not my style, but I mean, he's not bad looking, but I don't think he's hot or anything. like that, but personally.
My point with that, and I don't want to get anybody wrong ideas of what I'm trying to say, but I think Jerry O'Connell, I'm sure, was picked on as a kid. Sure was, you know, for his size and the way he looked. Mind you, he was in a very, very good movie. He's done a lot of stuff for himself. But that awkwardness as a teenager and trying to find your way through everything and, you know, try to handle not getting bullied. Like I said, I think the way I handled it, I just brushed it off and just kind of let it slide. I didn't have the outlet of Facebook, or I don't know what mentally is, it's so sad to see, you know, the girl that, like, I think we talked about before in our episode, number 8 or some, where, you know, the girl that hung herself after, you know, finding out she was raped during a party.
Yeah, I know that.
That scares the shit out of me, and Raina, you know, listening to this, you know, there's, you know, I hope we've raised you smart enough to not feel that kind of peer pressure. You know, how to get out of those situations before things turn bad. I'm not saying, you know, that she's going to be a bad child and she's going to go out and drink and smoke pot, which I've never done. Your father came close once. I don't know.
Like I said before, I truly believe that it all comes back to the parent.
Exactly.
I mean, to some extent, my parent. I mean, I hung out, like I said, I hung out with the goth kids, and they would have drug parties every other weekend. They'd go down to one of the girls' dad's house, and he would buy her drugs and bring them over to the house. Like, he would go and get her meth and whatever drugs she wanted. They used to do whippets, which, you know, isn't a really big deal, but they used to do ecstasy regularly. All these things were in the house every weekend, if not every other weekend. And I was there all the time. I went to the parties all the time. My dad would drive me down there because it was, I lived in Milpitas, and it was all the way down Southside San Jose. My dad would drive me down there not knowing what was going on. And if he did know, he knew that he raised me well enough not to get involved. I never did drugs.
So
never.
You'd walk into those houses and people were rolling?
If they weren't already when I got there, they were shortly after.
Yeah. Now, for the kids that out there that don't know what rolling is when you drop ecstasy.
Yes.
And that's, I can't believe I'm explaining rolling. It sounds weird even saying it, because I remember when it was so prevalent. People still do E and go to raves. I think people still go to raves.
I think so, but not as much as
the candy kids, as they're called.
Yeah. But I mean, I remember 3 of my friends rolling together, and they're all on the floor touching each other. And, like, I mean, they were all fully clothed, but they were all, like, getting down, basically. And I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Sorry, language.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm not going to do this, so I'm not, I mean, I feel kind of left out. Not like I don't want to get involved, but, like, I'm just sitting here on the couch with your brother, like, doing nothing because we're the good kids. Like, it was boring as hell, really. It was annoying. But at the same time, I never wanted to do it just to fit in.
It was available to you. It was sitting there, available to you. And you could have done it at any point, but you're saying that your parents raised you enough to make, if it was put out there in front of you.
I never did it. I had options for 2 years. From the time I was 16 till we graduated. And even after graduation, I had options with those guys. I used to go out there all the time, but not so much after high school because I started hanging out with my friends from work at that point. But yeah, I mean, I it was readily available at a moment's notice if I wanted it, and I never did it, never touched any of it, because like I said, my parents taught me to do what I want to do and not worry about what other people think. And because of that reason, I didn't even have a drink until my senior year of high school, like maybe a couple weeks before I turned 18. I think it was New Year's Eve, my senior year, is the first time I had a drink. And it was a Bartles and James wine cooler.
Why does everybody start with a wine cooler?
Because that's easy for girls. But, but I mean, I had 2 or 3, and I passed out in the garage because I was so tired right after midnight.
Along with your Zima, right?
My what?
Along with your Zima, right?
What is that?
You don't know what a Zima is? Yeah, look it up. Before your time. Well, you know, and yeah, well, you hit your drinking stride in your mid to late 20s, so.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, you'd.
Oh, canceled. The point is, Raina, I was legally allowed to drink.
And make bad decisions at a later age. Yeah.
And on my own, out of the parents' house. Don't do it at the parents' house. It just doesn't work. Trust me.
Yes, don't steal my liquor. I know you're thinking about it. I know you know where it is, but don't touch my liquor.
I was totally talking about something else. But I used to go,
oh my God.
After high school, when I started hanging out with different friends, I would tell my mom before I was 21, my best friend at the time, his parents would go on trips all the time. And we'd go party at his house. And I would tell my mom before I went, I'd be like, Mom, look, we're going to be drinking. I'd be like 19 years old, 20 years old. And she's like, that's fine. Just don't drive. I don't care if you drink at home. Just don't drive. And even my dad knew. And my dad wasn't really happy about it, but like my mom said, as long as I didn't drive, they didn't care. And if I ever needed a ride, I could call them in the middle of the night and they'd come pick me up.
Now, how did your parents deal with you and boys between the ages of middle school? And, you know, because back to Wonder Years, you know, Kevin is starting to have a thing for Winnie Cooper at like 12 years old. How did your parents deal with the aspect of boys either calling the house or you talking to them, or, you know, how did you approach your, were you open with your mom about boy you liked, or your sisters, or you're like,
I didn't talk to my family about that stuff. Honestly, like until I was an adult, I really didn't. My little sister knew about one guy through high school who was like, you know, you always have that first love on and off kind of thing. My little sister knew about him only because she went to school with me at the time. That's the only reason she knew anything about him. Otherwise, none of my family would have known. I mean, they would have known somebody was there, but they never knew the person. She did. But I never brought boys home to meet my parents until I was an adult. I didn't talk about the boys with my family. They kind of turned a blind eye in a way. I mean, if it was something more serious and I was going to hang out with a boy all the time, they probably would have said something, but they trusted me also. I was as much of a crazy person I am now. I was almost a goody two shoes when I was younger. I know it's weird, right?
I know that's.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pictures that say that it's different, but
I know, right? That say totally differently.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, I was the rebel out of the three girls in my family.
So being a middle child, right? You were.
Yeah, I totally had a complex.
Oh, jeez. But I mean, what did you? I mean, at that age, and I know Raina's listening to this, and you know, somebody has a crush on her, and she has a crush on somebody. And as much as I don't want to admit that right now, because it's my little girl still. You know, there's going to be times. You know, I hope she, like I said, she's smart enough to not get peer pressured into sex, or anything else that's sexually, anything, nothing, because
no,
I know how.
Activity.
No, nothing. Don't feel pressure, peer pressured. You know, boy, you know, tells you, oh, if you do this, oh, it's not bad. No, don't do any of it.
It's crap and they're lying sacks of shit. Period.
You won't get you, or they'll give you the line, oh, you can't get pregnant by this.
Never fall for that one. Ever. Never. I mean, there are ways that you can do things without getting pregnant, but don't fall for it, because that's just their way of getting.
I like how Aaron, looking at your face right now, you want to explain in the detail. But for the sake of this one podcast, we'll leave it up to the listeners' minds of what. Because I think we've been pretty clean this episode. I think we've been pretty sane, I guess, in this one. But I don't, you know, again, you know, it's. I don't know. I'm going to say this when she's, I think every dad or every parent says, I know how boys are, or I know how girls your age are, blah, 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 blah. But I hope Jess and I instill enough in her that she, you know, didn't make bad decisions. She feels like she's getting peer pressured. She can come to us and talk to us instead of like she needs to hurt herself or feeling like, you know, she's not the best person just because somebody didn't like her. Somebody made fun of her on whatever social networking site that is around in 2031.
Rita, just remember this. Be nice to everybody. Nobody will have a reason to pick on you.
And on that note, we will go ahead and end the show and thank Aaron for being on. Thank you, Aaron, again. My co-host. You are my co-host. So, anytime. Next couple episodes, I think my friend Darren will be on episode 18, where we become adults and we talk about adult things. So, Aaron was on the Sweet 16. Here's the funny thing about you being on the show by yourself. You remember your favorite your number is 8, right?
Uh-huh.
Times that by 2. Yeah.
I was thinking 18 still because of the legal adult comment. I totally had a ball moment. I'm sorry.
That's okay. but you can catch me on Twitter at Head in the Sand 32. You sorry. Can also.
You I can couldn't catch, find the button in time.
You can follow me on Twitter at Head in the Sand 32. You can also email me at headinthesand32@gmail.com. Like my Facebook page at Head in the Sand Podcast. We'll go into. I know I was going to have a trivia question. I'm going to find an episode. I'm going to give away an Amazon gift card. Anybody that's listened to the show, and people that are not eligible to win are people that have been on the show.
Yeah. So Jarek is still eligible.
He was on the show technically last week.
True. Okay. Never mind. Sorry, Jarek.
Sorry. He's not going to stab anybody this time, though. Your Uncle Jarek. Your Uncle Jarek Reyna. Oh, Callie. Reyna. Your Uncle Jarek Reyna. Yeah, you can ask him about that story. He'll tell you. But I want to give away an Amazon gift card. There's going to be some trivia that's going to be in an episode that you'll have to find. And you'll have to email me and first one to email me will get that prize. So it'll be a special gift for everybody that hasn't been on the show. And the question might come up and might be, you know, what's Aaron's favorite number? Now we've discussed it 3 times already. Or what episode was she on? Or, about the just what was that?
I said, what episode did I say blank in?
Yes,
you know that.
Yes, or has she ever slapped anybody? So.
And what do I refer to him as?
On that note, thank you for everybody listening, keeping this episode strong. We're almost at 1,000 downloads.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Well, you can swear. We haven't really sworn in this one.
No, but I'm trying not to because I'm trying to,
Class
there's a lot
up.
Of babies popping up around me, so I need to make sure I watch my language for that.
That's fine. There's
a lot of babies popping up around me right now.
But so, again, thank you for everybody listening. Thank you for my wonderful co-host, Aaron, for being on again. And I will talk to everybody there. Once again, stay tuned for the next couple episodes. I will have the trivia question. It's not going to be an easy one. You're going to have to earn it. And I will have that Amazon gift card available. And I, like I said, I'm going to see who's really listening to the show. From there, I'm going to set up, and I'm stealing this is from Josh's show. But I'm going to have people leave voicemails. I'm going to set up a Google voice number. And if they want to ask a question, on the air, you will ask the question in a voicemail and Aaron and I will listen, to it and we'll answer the question. So, please. Aaron's excited for that. We're done talking now. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a safe and fun week. Don't do anything Aaron or I wouldn't do.